You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host, and I am thrilled to be joined with a very special guest to talk about the very important topic of religious freedom in America and around the world today. Joining us is Travis Wusso, who serves as Director of International Justice and Religious Freedom with the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention. Travis, welcome to Messenger Insight.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Now, just recently, there was news of the State Department updating its list of the worst violators of religious freedom. And the story, which was published by Baptist Press and others, goes on to reflect some thoughts from you in your role with the ERLC. But for those who may have missed that story, what is this list all about, and what was the significance of the State Department's news?
Yeah, every year the State Department is required to issue a full report on the status of religious liberty in every country in the world, and they did that at the end of last year. And another component of that report is that once they release the report, they are required to designate, empowered to designate what are called countries of particular concern. And so we were not, even though the State Department is required to do this every year, they don't. Some years they miss that. You know, the Obama administration has missed it. In certain years, the Bush administration did as well. And so we were encouraged to see that, indeed they did update the list. And by and large, what they did is redesignated the countries that had been previously designated as countries of particular concern. I won't read them all. There's 10 of them, but Burma, China, Iran, North Korea, Saudi Arabia, Turkmenistan. And for the first time this year, the State Department also designated Tajikistan as a country of particular concern. Tajikistan is a Central Asian country. It was formerly part of the USSR. And so we were encouraged that the State Department took the step. It shows that that they're fulfilling their obligations under the law to prioritize international religious freedom and to keep it as part of the agenda. At the same time, I think one of the questions that we and others within the international religious freedom community are asking is really how high a priority is our religious freedom issues relative to other issues when it comes to American foreign policy, because for a number of the countries, Saudi Arabia, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, and Tajikistan, actually, the State Department didn't take any action. So maybe I should back up. Once a country has been designated a country of particular concern, the State Department is empowered by law, by Congress, to penalize that country in some way. And it can be something as simple as a private dialogue or a public condemnation, all the way to canceling visas or withdrawing military support, security support, those kinds of things. And basically, the State Department didn't do any of that this year. For the country that I just mentioned, Saudi Arabia, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, the State Department said specifically, we're waiving any additional action. So basically, the only punishment or the only consequence for the lack of religious freedom in these countries, in Saudi Arabia and Turkmenistan, are some of the worst violators of religious freedom around the world. Just being on the list, that's the only consequence, even though the State Department is empowered to take, and the President is empowered to take other action. They chose not to. And you can note that for the other countries, certain sanctions are listed for Burma and for Eritrea. There are additional sanctions that are listed. However, those are sanctions that were put in place for other reasons. They weren't, you know, initially they weren't ever about religious freedom. So what the State Department in effect is saying, the State Department the sanctions that apply to your country, they were for these reasons, but now they're also for religious freedom reasons. And the way the State Department spun that was to say, you know, it adds an additional layer of validity or an additional layer of weight or gravity to those already existing sanctions. You know, but I mean, my take on it is they basically did nothing. You know, there was no additional consequence. There's no additional action taken by the State Department on some of these issues. So, you know, so I think we're still, you know, watching and waiting. I mean, you know, the Obama administration has certainly done some on these issues. Ambassador at large David Saperstein, who's the ambassador for international religious freedom, has been truly a powerful advocate for religious minorities all across the world, you know, including and perhaps even especially Christians over the last year. We remain concerned. I mean, we think the State Department could be doing more on these issues, which, you know, as Christians we know is a deeply fundamental, foundational freedom. It's not just good for Christians. It's not just for keeping the door open for the gospel, but it's good for everybody.
Thank you for sharing that. You know, I like what you said about religious liberty being connected to foreign policy and why it's a high priority, why it wouldn't just be nice if there were religious freedom or toleration in these countries, that it's important to foreign policy for us as Americans. There's an old joke that war is God's way of teaching Americans geography. And when I think about evangelicals, you know, missions being God's way of teaching us about what's going on in the world, as Americans, we're blessed to the point of being spoiled with the freedoms we enjoy, and religious liberty is just kind of in our fiber. And of course, that's being challenged in many fronts today. But to hear you advocating, speaking forth, and knowing that there's a Southern Baptist stationed abroad that is concerned about these issues. Travis, if we could step back for a moment, many of us didn't know the ERLC had this office in which you're serving. Can you tell us about your role, your background, and your calling to this role God's put you in now?
Yeah, for sure. My background, I'm from the great state of Texas, you know, just across the Red River from you guys.
We're neighbors.
Yeah, we're neighbors, that's right. You know, it's funny, as I've, you know, the longer I live overseas, my, you know, my animosity towards Oklahoma begins, you know, slowly waning. So. But I'm from Texas. My background is I'm a lawyer and also serve as a pastor in Austin, Texas, at a church called the Austin Stone Community Church. Matt Carter is our senior pastor. For the last couple of years, had done work with ERLC, and so, you know, for me and for my family, you know, this endeavor is for me really an effort to unite, you know, my background in law and calling to ministry. And so, over the course of about a year, you know, through relationships that I have with ERLC, we put together this plan. And the way I describe the Middle East office, you know, our agenda, mission is really three things: to equip and to mobilize pastors and leaders and churches to advocate for the persecuted, poor, and marginalized. So everything we do kind of falls into one of those three buckets, whether it's equipping or mobilizing, whether that's mobilizing to do something or to pray or to mobilize resources, and then lastly, to advocate. And some of that is, you know, public, some of it's behind closed doors, working through our relationships with the State Department or Washington, D.C., or, you know, with other organizations that are located abroad.
Excellent. Well, we appreciate you and your service, and can definitely tell that God's called you to where you are now. Travis, you know, we've talked about these 10 countries of particular concern. We've talked about battlefronts of religious liberty here and abroad. But what's one thing, one pocket of hope that you see, one encouraging development? And then also, after you talk to that, could you tell us how we can pray for you? Certainly, you didn't plan to uproot from Texas to to moving abroad and being in this role, so we want to pray for you. So what's something that encourages you that you're seeing, and then how can we pray for you?
You know, I think one of the really encouraging things that I'm seeing happen, particularly in the Middle East, is that the situation that Christians, and I mean local Christians, have found themselves in at the hands of ISIS, in the hands of al-Nusra Front, you know, other non-state actors, terrorist organizations, you know, and even state actors, is that this pressure has really drawn the community of believers together in a way that is truly unprecedented. You know, of course, you know, the historical frictions remain, but when I'm in meetings or at conferences or just getting together with a group of believers that are working on these issues, it's always a very broad coalition of people that, you know, maybe 10 years ago would have, you know, been reluctant to be in the same room with each other. And so I think, you know, it's one silver lining that God seems to be producing through the conflict and truly just horrific, horrible circumstances over the last 2 years for Christians. In terms of how you guys be praying for us, I've got two young daughters, you know, for just adjustment, cultural adjustment, safety, security. What I would also ask is, you know, prayer for big vision and for the Lord to open doors. I mean, we've seen a tremendous amount of God's favor over the last few months, and, you know, we really see His hand moving and, you know, want to continue to see that. And the last thing I'd say is, you know, in terms of prayer for the work that we're doing, every month we focus on a particular country, one of the places where Christians and other religious minorities have it the worst. And this month we're focusing on China. So we put out an article with some other resources, some video clips from an advocate named Bob Fu, who spent time in a Chinese jail for his work advocating for religious freedom and advocating for pastors and activists in China, was ultimately smuggled out of the country through Hong Kong. So we'll be releasing over the next month some additional resources about our brothers and sisters in China. But I just would encourage your listeners to check out those resources and to join us in praying for China this month.
Great point, Travis. We will be in prayer for that and looking for that resource. We've been talking to Travis Wusso, who serves as Director of International Justice and Religious Freedom with the ERLC of the Southern Baptist Convention. Go to erlc.com to find out more about Travis's ministry, these resources, and how you can be praying for God to be at work in the world. If an Okie and a Texan can overcome our differences for the sake of the gospel and religious liberty, everyone can be part of this. Travis, thank you for taking time to talk about that Freedom Index, to talk about what you do on behalf of the convention and the gospel. And thanks to your family for the sacrifices you're making.
Thanks. It's a blessing, really. Thanks for having me.
Blessings to you.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at BaptistMessenger.com.